This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And good morning. It's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante, Derek Piper. To my left, Trevor Valise. To my right, it is Monday. We're off and running, and we have a big week scheduled for you, which we will get to in moments and tell you all about. Of course, the weekend brought us live golf with guys actually carrying their own golf bag, which was kind of cool. You know, for us that watch PGA and such, and they always have a caddy, they don't ever have to carry bags. They're always in slacks. They're always looking nice. These guys, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, who else? My goodness, I'm losing it. Anyway, they are they were in shorts and carrying their own bags, which was kind of cool, but doing it for the COVID-19 relief fund, and they raised a lot of money for that. We also had NASCAR yesterday. They started at Darlington.
Your broadcast got cut out.
Listen, for somebody that worked television for 10 years, I always feel bad for the weather crew, because whenever there's a tornado warning or a severe thunderstorm, they are by law, they have to break in. They have to break in and tell you.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. So, but it was during the race, right? So that was during the race. I'm like, well, of course we would have a tornado today and do all this. And then at the end, of course, it won't stop raining in Central Illinois. For some reason, it isn't right now. Then my DirecTV got knocked out, so I didn't even get to see the end of the race. And I'm like, you know what? Mother Nature, you've had 2 months to do this crap. I finally get a day where there's live sports, and now you got to mess with it. So I wasn't
that
very
stinks, man.
I was salty yesterday.
I apologize. I watched some German soccer.
Yeah,
8:30 in the morning on Saturday. I'm up and watching it.
I saw your team was winning.
Yep,
Dortmund.
Yeah, they're like Harry Potter team names.
Did they win?
They won.
Boom.
Yeah, a couple bucks. Cha-ching.
So you're on fire right now.
And then watch some UFC.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Did you like the German soccer, the European soccer?
I did, yeah.
Okay. It's live sports.
It was live sports.
And you had money on it. That always helps.
That helps.
I always said if I'm going to become a soccer fan, it's almost going to. I've always said, I told Cliff and Urbana, if St. Louis ever nails down a team, which they have, then I'm going to start following them from the beginning and really try my best to become a fan. I used to watch, and I used to be a fan of the St. Louis Steamers back in the day. It was indoor soccer in St. Louis. So I kind of followed it a little bit there, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to latch on to a favorite team and see what I can do. But the other thing would be just throwing big money at it. And just then you're going to watch.
I didn't big money. I just had just some kind bucks. Of interest.
Well, listen.
Some vested interest.
$5 to me is big money.
Okay, then. So,
my normal bet is like $1. So if you go $5, that's big money to Lon. Actually, $20. I did that one time on an Illinois game, and I was nervous. So I was like, I can't do that again.
Does it seem weird that UFC is one of the only things that's... Like, if I had to make a list of things that would make sense to be brought back in terms of contact and close proximity...
It would be the last.
I feel like two sweaty men literally, like, on top of each other...
Bleeding.
Basically naked, bleeding, would be, like, the last thing I would bring back.
Yes.
You know what's crazy is the fight of the night is the last fight.
Right.
But each fight that goes on and progresses, the blood is spilled out on the mat.
Yeah.
And you're just entering into a mat that has 10 different people's blood splattered all over it.
Which is sick anyway.
Yeah.
Let alone with a pandemic going on throughout the world. Now, that is interesting, Trevor, and I've thought the same thing. I mean,
I know there's only two of them, so I guess you could argue it's in the as long as those two are good and they've taken a test and they're fine, I guess it's okay. But
I mean, that and boxing is weird. And then, now the way they do it, I don't really watch the UFC, is they show a lot of the undercards, right? And then the big fight is on pay-per-view, I assume.
I guess they've done that, and sometimes they do ESPN Plus, which you got to pay for. But this past weekend, all was on ESPN.
Oh, it was? Okay.
The preliminary fights, and then they had a main card of like 5 different fights.
Got it. And the main one, I'd watched a story earlier in the day. His, I guess it would have been a stepdaughter.
His stepdaughter was kidnapped.
Yeah, was kidnapped and killed. And I was kind of rooting for him then. I thought, well, I kind of want to see him win, but he didn't.
I felt bad. I had money on the other side.
Ah, Derek.
That's all right, though. That's
they
all
right. won.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he won. Yeah, you can't apologize for that. So we had live sports, which was cool. I mean, NASCAR was really cool. The drivers essentially stayed in their kind of their RV or motor home, whatever you want to call it, until it was time to go. And then it was only them and one crew member that would put up the safety netting and basically deem the driver ready to roll. And then, of course, they started. Then they had only so many crew members that could be in pit road to change the tires, et cetera. But it was weird, you know, because these guys have not been in a car for 2 months and did not get any practice time at Darlington. And Darlington is kind of this egg oval shape anyway. And so they call her the Lady in Black, and it's really a tough track. Whether or not you even if practicing on it. So here they are, they start out, they go through turn one, they go through turn two, they seem to be doing kind of like, let's feel each other out, and then all of a sudden, boom, somebody's in the wall. They got in the wall. So all of a sudden you had a wreck on lap one, and it's like, oh boy, how long is this going to be?
Was there any weird feeling with no fans for NASCAR?
Yeah.
It's not like that's a sport where you're maybe not going to hear the roar of the crowd because sure. You got other things going on.
It looked weird to me.
Yeah.
But I got over it quick because like what you said, you don't really hear the crowd. You see them when you go down the backstretch, but you don't hear them. So yeah, I'm with you. It took a few laps for me to adjust to that. And then I didn't even notice it.
And I'm not a big soccer guy, but Dortmund has 84,000 usually, and you hear the soccer chants and all that. Now you get into the World Cup and there's the Vuvuzelas and hope that there's hope there's a pandemic, but hopefully there's something to keep those out, some kind of excuse.
Maybe they just got rid of them. They just need to ban those.
Yeah.
Ban those from World Cup.
The UFC, you always have the announcer, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Who?
It is weird. And even in the golf, they had one like 75-year-old dude who was dressed up in a tie walking around, and he was the only one that could pull the pin. And I'm like, dude, you don't have to wear a tie. I mean, can you just put a nice golf shirt on? Why you got to wear a tie? But yeah, it was pretty cool though. It was cool just to see. I mean, you know, we're not normal anymore in this world, so it was kind of cool to get that just some live sports back, just to feel a little bit normal. Amen to that.
Nice.
All right, the big story though, and before I get to actually, let me tell you what we're doing this week. This week we are going to preview the Illinois football schedule in order. So we are doing this, and Trevor, you're going to have to help me out here a little bit. But today, what we're going to do is next segment, we're going to talk about, the three of us are going to talk about Illinois football strength and weaknesses. Now, keep in mind, we understand that we are being aggressive here. Number one, we're a long way from the Illinois football schedule. And number two, we don't even know if there will be football in the fall.
Oh, no.
And that's just a stat, that's just a fact. I know Derek gets mad at me when I say that, and I don't want to say
factual.
It either.
It's factual.
It's factual.
I don't want to think that way.
Yeah, no, I don't either. So understanding that there's a lot that has to be done in terms of kids back on campus, all of that. And like Trevor said earlier today, are teams like Bowling Green even going to have a team this year? So, I mean, we'll see. There's some things that are going on that could play with this, but we thought, you know what? This gives us a good week of content, and that's what we need right now when we don't have a lot going on. And it's not just filler. I don't feel like we're just filling shows this week. This should be really good information. And essentially, minus Rutgers at this point, we're basically talking to people that cover these teams. So we're going to get a good breakdown on this. And one of the reasons is I think we all think Illinois could have a pretty good year in football. So I thought, let's really break down that schedule and figure out right now who are the teams we should be worried about, who are teams that are kind of right there on the cusp, like a Nebraska. Can we beat Nebraska? And then maybe in Ohio State, maybe we don't dream that big on a team, you know, on a game like that, or even the game up at Camp Randall against Wisconsin. So what we're going to do is each day this week, we're going to go through and talk to beat reporters or reporters in that area that cover those teams. So today we're going to talk to Jeremy Warner at 5:05 and just kind of get a nitty gritty breakdown of Illinois football going into the season. Then we're going to talk to at 5:30 Kevin Suits, who covers Nebraska for the CBS affiliate. We're going to talk to Kevin, and if that name sounds familiar, by the way, he is from Royal, Illinois. played football under Dick Duval at St. Joe. Kind of cool. Didn't know any of that until I talked to him today. So Kevin's going to join us at 5:30, and we'll get the breakdown of Nebraska. The three of us are going to do the non-conference breakdown in Rutgers, because those are really four bad teams. And we'll explain all that here in a little bit. So we'll do all that. And then what's tomorrow, Trevor? I'm trying to think.
Tomorrow in order is Jesse Temple from The Athletic to talk Wisconsin. Mm. Ryan Burns from 24/7 Sports to talk Minnesota.
Okay.
And then Mike Carmen from the Journal and Carrier to talk Purdue. So
okay.
Tomorrow is Perfect. Wisconsin, Minnesota, Purdue.
And if you'll notice, we're going by the schedule.
By the schedule, yeah.
So then on Wednesday, we've got Chris Widlick to cover Indiana.
Correct.
And then who else?
That's it on Wednesday.
Oh, that's it on Wednesday.
And then on Thursday, in order, we've got Iowa, Ohio State, and Northwestern.
Okay. So, and then by Friday, we're going to give kind of our predictions on what we think after we've heard all this.
Never too early to get informed, man.
I agree, man. Break so we'll break it down. Now, so that's our plan. We'll start to break all that down next segment. But right now, I've gone way too long without mentioning the final two episodes of The Last Dance. You guys, I want to ask you, because I kind of lived through it, what did you think now that it's all said and done? Derek, what do you think?
It was incredibly well done. It was hard to realize that was it at the end. Oh. Not only that was it for that team, and it's still so frustrating. And you're watching the last gathering in the park in Chicago and all the thousands, and you have the best player in the sport still playing at his peak level, and he'd even say that. And you're breaking it up.
Mm.
And you see the pictures of Reinsdorf and Krause backstage. And it just, it's infuriating as someone who obviously loves Jordan, or just thinking back to being a fan then.
Yeah.
Was this not, how was there not riots?
I know, right?
But the access as far as the footage, what they had was incredible.
Incredible.
And to see the, you know, at the hotel afterwards. The story about the flu game was actually the food poisoning with the pizza. Five delivery guys show up to Jordan's room with a pizza.
Why would they order a pizza to Michael Jordan?
Yeah, you would hope they'd use a different name.
Wouldn't they use a name? I mean, couldn't you send some no-namer with the team to go down and get a pizza and come back? I mean, that's the weirdest part to me.
My only thought was that they said that there was no places delivering at that time, so maybe they had to go like, sorry, we don't deliver. And then the guy's like, it's Michael freaking Jordan. Can you just deliver a pizza?
That makes sense.
That was my only thought.
That makes sense. Otherwise, surely you're giving an alias as to who you're ordering this pizza for. But yeah,
I hope so. I mean, I would heard too. On that random mic'd up Cubs spring training game that like David Ross and all those guys have aliases when they go to hotels and check in. So I'd hope you wouldn't be checking in as Michael Jordan.
I totally agree. And you know, Derek, you mentioned the access that we were able to get with video of this. How about when Dennis Rodman, by the way, he just takes off. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that he's going to go up and do a wrestling thing in Detroit. I mean, Phil Jackson doesn't even know this. So, like, where's Dennis? And then he comes back, and they're trying to sneak him out of the United Center.
That was
awesome. Incredible.
And that's it's funny for me, that's the gate you go into for the Big Ten tournament.
Ah,
so you go down those same steps
I remember that.
And that's part of the cool part of seeing the back hallways and everything. But can you imagine 300 media waiting at the front of the locker room? And this SID, we try to get into the life of the Derek Bersons, and that's part of it, trying to sneak him out there so that he can run in his pajama pants away from the media.
It's incredible. It is incredible. I think my favorite part to this whole thing, minus just being ridiculously entertained for 10 hours, my favorite part to this was how they continued and doing it in a way that I didn't get confused, how they continued to move from like 1 year and then backwards, and then forward, and then backwards, and tie it all together. Jason Hare, is that the name of the guy? That guy deserves, I don't know, was it an Emmy? I don't know what you get for something like that. Whatever it is, he deserves 10 of them.
He won an Oscar for a documentary, right?
Kobe
won one.
He deserves it. I mean, it was amazing what he was able to do, not only with the inside that they had on the video, but also the interviews and the fact that they went out and, I mean, they interviewed anybody from President Obama to, you know, Bob Costas and just everybody in between, and the fact that they did such a great job of piecing all 10 of them together, and then inside that, telling little stories. You know, like Andrew today said, Andrew and Lucas were talking about Steve Kerr, that they didn't realize, A, he'd gone to Arizona, B, that his father had been killed in Beirut.
I didn't know that.
And you know, there's another story to that, and I'm sure you could Google it. And I think it was Arizona State fans one time in a game when Steve Kerr was playing in Arizona State. The fans started chanting something very bad. And it got to the point where they stopped the game, I think. And the ASU athletic director was like, I don't want to hear another word. And I think Steve Kerr was even crying maybe from it. I mean, it was just kind of cool to hear all those backstories. I knew that Dennis Rodman was a wild SOB. I had no idea he was that wild.
And I understand why you might not have been able to put up with him for potentially another year, and some of his talents were diminishing. But one of the criticisms of the documentary, maybe criticism isn't the right word, but just the people that lived through it knew a lot of the story. It was more of an entertainment than it was learning a bunch of new stuff. But as you said, the Kerr story, Rodman being gone from practice and at the fight. But I just think that they did a great job, as you mentioned, of tying it all together. But the backstage or in the tunnel after they beat Indiana, and he's the meet up with Larry Bird.
How cool.
It was cool, and it wasn't like, hey, I love you, my friend, which, you know, they're buddies, but he had some certain things to say to Larry, and then he goes, now you can go work on that golf game. Just those little exchanges, and you saw them in the locker room at the All-Star game, him and Magic and Michael.
Yes.
Just those little insights are incredible.
It was just, I mean, and Trevor, I'll let you go. To me, as a guy that has always thought Michael Jordan was the best I've ever seen and lived through that era, I just literally, to this day, had no idea that he was that competitive.
Yeah, it was interesting for me because I didn't know any of this. I mean, I'm going like Larry Bird was the head coach of the Pacers. I didn't know. You know, I knew he had a GM role now, but I didn't know he was the head coach. Some of this stuff, I just had absolutely no idea.
Right?
So I'm sitting there watching the Pacers-Bulls series. I had no idea how it played out. I didn't know if the Bulls swept them in four or if it went to seven.
Exactly.
And that ridiculous game four where Reggie hit that shot.
Ugh.
And that amazing shot of Larry almost looking, I mean, that tells you how good MJ was, right? Larry almost looked like he was going to cry after his own player hit the game-winning shot because he knew there was 0.7 seconds left and that was enough time. And he almost made that ridiculous shot. He rimmed out.
Mm.
So it's just that kind of stuff was really cool to see. I liked the insider access. I liked the bit of Rodman running, that type of stuff, where you know he talked about the flu game and how it wasn't really the flu game. I've always been interested in sports conspiracies, sports inside stories, anything like that. So that was just 10 hours of, A, fun for me, but B, it was almost like a history lesson.
It really was?
To where now I can go, yeah, I remember that game where Michael scored 60 against the Celtics in 88 or whatever, because I didn't know any of that before this, and now I do.
And it's cool, you know, like the security, the gentleman that had the cancer, and what his wife said that Michael, you know, was so worried about him and reached out to him. And I mean, it showed kind of a little bit of a loving side of Michael Jordan that you didn't really see. And then it showed just the big old, you know what hole of Michael Jordan that I didn't know that he was to that point of that much of that. I mean, and then it just showed the competitiveness just overall. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. I will never watch a documentary again, probably, and live up to that standard is the problem.
Yeah, it was deserving. Again, we all wish sports were back in its normal form, and this was just mixed in. But to have the stage by itself, it was very deserving of, and it kind of
perfect.
It was perfect, yep. As you said there. Another thing, as far as new things in journalism, the whole give the iPad to the interviewee and let him listen and get that reaction, those were great.
It was
those
wonderful.
Were awesome.
Wonderful.
Never seen that done before.
Nope.
And maybe it has been, but as far as the usage of it and with Jordan, I thought Jordan's insights and raw reactions to all that were just
awesome. Hilarious. I know somebody tweeted out, they're like, I'm going to miss the iPad meme Jordan, yep, or the iPad Jordan guy. Trevor, you tweeted out something to what Derek said, that not only was this now main stage television because we got nothing else as a sports fan, not only that, but it lived up to it and exceeded it.
Yeah, I mean, I think people forget that this was going to be released on ESPN Plus on a streaming service on off days in between NBA Finals games. not to say it still wouldn't have been just as good, and we all would have watched it some way or another.
Right.
And I'm sure they would have shown them on TV at some point as well. But, you know, it sort of took on a life of its own once this pandemic hit to where people then expected this to be like the greatest thing ever because it was the only thing you could watch. And somehow it still was.
It still was.
Even though the process of, I guess what I mean is Jason or anyone making this did not know it was supposed to be the greatest thing ever.
Right.
Until it was already done. And yet it still lived up to the hype that was created after it had already been made, essentially.
There are a lot of things to say about it, and we'll mix it in maybe throughout the week when we get time throughout this. But one other thing is, while it's frustrating that's the way it ended, it adds to the mystique of Jordan. The fact that that was his last shot, that last shot in Utah, the last shot ever as a Bull.
That's incredible.
It's amazing that you didn't then see the chinks in the armor maybe another year if you let it go too far. I know he came back as a Wizard. And again, I'm not saying that had he played again and they didn't win the finals, and then we MJ's not the greatest. But it just, you know, Tom Brady's last pass as a Patriot was a pick six.
Right.
So just the fact that that group ended on that high,
incredible. It's
frustrating, as Jordan says at the very, very end of it. Yep. It's hard to live with, but it's part of the legend of that team.
And I could understand, because I'm not a Bulls fan, I could totally understand as a fan in general of why you guys would be upset that they didn't continue that on. And even me, not as a non-Bulls fan, I'm like, what are you doing? But then in a way, you sit there, I sit there and look at it like, okay, guys, hold on. You've got six titles out of this. It did kind of end in a perfect way, kind of like Tony La Russa winning the World Series in 11 and then retiring the next day, essentially saying, I'm going out on top. And all,
John Elway retires after his Super Bowl. Yep. Peyton Manning.
And I love, the end of it. I love the fact that they did not go further into his Wizards career or his owner and GM career or whatever. Because
that's kind of a funny backdrop of it to me, not to interrupt your point.
No, you're fine.
But like, it is a little bit humorous to me as a guy who's only actually lived through his tenure as an owner. The Hornets suck.
I mean,
they've made terrible moves. They've hardly ever made the playoffs. And I'm not saying that's on him necessarily.
But it should be some of it.
But it is just kind of funny to have him sit there and say, you know, like, I demand the best and I got the best. And really the only thing he's doing right now is running the team into the ground because they stink. But
did you guys see the poem, by the way, that he wrote?
Is it out there?
I haven't seen it, no.
I thought it was burnt.
Somebody tweeted something. Maybe it was a joke then. I won't.
Oh,
about Mina Scott Kimes Burrell.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
It's a joke.
Oh, it was a joke. Okay. I thought maybe she knew.
I think it's a joke.
Oh my.
Poor Scott Burrell.
I know.
He just was, man.
Somebody, I think it was Dave Wishnowski, said, you know what? I knew a lot of the guys that didn't play a lot on this team. He's like, but it's amazing how much I didn't know about Scott Burrell and how big of a, he had a huge part in this thing. I mean, he was like fifth in this thing. So, well, it was cool. It was really cool. I didn't realize the Scottie Pippen game where he was hobbling up and down the court. I don't remember that.
I don't know how Scottie even agreed to do this.
I know. It did not put him in good light.
Scottie didn't play in game six because of a migraine. Scottie didn't play in game six because of a backache. Scottie elected to skip his surgery and sit out a season. And Scottie pouted when he didn't get the shot.
It was weird. It did not put him in a good light.
Into that game when Kukoc hit it. He missed the two free throws before Reggie hit the three.
Oh, that's right.
So there's some late game moments there for Scottie, but he did in the 97 finals have the steal at the after Kerr hits the shot, which Kerr gets all the credit. Scottie has the steal that then ends the game and ends the series. So
it is funny though, because I mean
he's a great player, but there are some moments where at the ends.
Because if you're somebody that didn't, you know, if you were in college now watching this, Trevor, and you didn't realize the stats that Scottie Pippen put up and the fact that he's a top 50 NBA player of all time, you're going to sit there and assume that he really wasn't that great for that team because they couldn't break down every good thing he did leading up to that. That was kind of interesting. The other thing, you know, it's interesting that you had a run of John Paxson, then you had a run of Steve Kerr. You had, you know, you always had enough big men, you know, with Longley and Bill Winnington and, you know, Bill Cartwright and guys like that. It seemed like
Horace Grant. Really important for them.
They always had good power forwards. I mean, Jerry Krause does deserve some credit.
Oh, 100%.
For getting that team the way he got, you know, put it together.
But there's no way he could explain his way out of that.
Nope.
I get it. Scotty's hobbled his back. You don't want to finally give him all that money. Understand it. Dennis Rodman, he's out of the league the very next year. If you don't want to overpay for Ron Harper, but Jordan at the top of his game, all you got to do is keep the coach, keep Jordan, and then try to build around that again. It makes zero sense.
Mm. The point is, why not try, right?
Why not try?
Especially, and they didn't know this at this time, of course, but the next season was 50 games.
Oh.
So you talk about, you know, MJ needs more rest. Well, they sliced the season almost in half.
Yeah, they would have had it.
So
they would have had it. Yeah. That's interesting. Thanks to Kenny, texted in, Arizona State fans started chanting PLO, which is for Palestinian Liberation Organization. They are the terrorists that killed Steve Kerr's dad.
The quote in the article says, this is from Steve Kerr, "When I heard that, I dropped the ball and started shaking. The ref called timeout for me. I sat down for a few minutes and had tears in my eyes."
I remember that. I remember watching
that.
That's
awful.
That was terrible. That does not put Arizona State in a good light. Of course, those back then, those kids in that time frame.
But, says the AD banned everyone who did that from ever going to a game again at Arizona State, sent a letter to Kerr, and stopped the game.
Wow.
So
it was, I mean, there's that, you know, I said that just to kind of everybody continue. I mean, so now you've learned more about that even, you know, just a lot of stuff. So, but you're right, Trevor. I think you said it best that for somebody like you, it was like a history lesson. You know, you're like reading a history book. Yeah. And then Pipes, you know, you kind of knew a lot about it, obviously being a Bulls fan too, but it's just all new. And for me, that was alive during that, or not when I say alive, I mean like sports alive, like where I was paying attention, I still didn't know all the backstories to all of that. So it was well done. That dude deserves an Oscar.
And he said on SVP that they finished the last episode on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
As in like 3 days before it premiered to the world.
Oh, my gosh.
It didn't feel rushed.
Yeah. Talk about pressure. Like, hey, by the way, we do have to have that done by Sunday. Yeah, I know. I'm working on it.
You can't push that till Monday morning.
No, we can't.
By the way, the most depressing graphic of the whole thing was the very last title that said, "And the Bulls began to rebuild."
Oh.
From 1998 to...
And still are.
And still are. Oh, man. Well, listen, what a run. Six titles for MJ. Really cool to get that. And we can talk about that, like you said, throughout the rest of the week. Okay, when we come back, we're going to start getting nitty-gritty on Illinois football and their schedule this season. Today, the three of us in this the rest of this hour are going to break down strengths, weaknesses, the non-conference slate, and Rutgers. We assume they'll be 4-0, so we're kind of just lumping all those non-conference and Rutgers together. 5:05 today, Jeremy Werner will join us to kind of break down Illinois in general. What does he expect? What are we thinking on some of the offense, the defense, et cetera? And then at 5:30, Kevin Suits from CBS affiliate Lincoln, Nebraska, joins us to touch on Nebraska. And then the rest of the week, we're going to follow the Illinois schedule and get you information on every opponent Illinois football will play. I'm high on this team winning 8 games, so I'm hoping that what I hear this week and from doing some research, I still think it can happen. So that's what we got going. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255, 217-359-2255. Follow us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tanepiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, J-A-Y.com. You can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tane Piper or The Drive 93.5.
This episode of The Drive with Lontae and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-597-0315. That's 800-597-0315. 800-597-0315. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey, it's Gina here with ABC Heating and Air. Don't sweat the summer over high energy bills or a chance your air might not start at all. Let me send a friendly service technician to your home to give your AC a full tune-up before it gets too hot in East Central Illinois. Call 352-5400. That's 352-5400. Remember, at ABC Heating and Air Conditioning, it's as easy as ABC to always be comfortable. Again, call 352-5400.
Right now, more than 125,000 children are waiting to be adopted from foster care. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption works around the clock to find them the permanent, loving homes they deserve. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You have heard lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but what about dandelion, creeping Charlie, and crabgrass, oh my? These weeds can be destructive forces on your lawn. When figuring out the troublesome weeds, you need a respectable company that will give you the attention it needs. Spring Green is that company. Spring Green's lawn service program includes personalized lawn care, a mid-season checkup, and a civilized and transparent process. To check it out, go to spring-green.com or call 359-2111.
Hey, Betty, you live at Baytown Apartments, right?
Yeah, just off Prospect and Boardwalk Drive in Champaign.
There's a lot of great restaurants and shopping there. Is there a gym nearby?
Who needs it? Baytown has 24/7 fitness center and sauna at the clubhouse.
Wow.
It's great, but the weather being so nice, I've been getting my workout on the jogging paths around the lake.
You have all that at Baytown Apartments?
Yeah, it's the best. Staff does a great job keeping the place beautiful.
Do you think they have any units available?
Actually, they have newly remodeled 1 and 2 bedroom units. You should check them out at Baytown.net. Tell the courtesy staff at the welcome gate and get a tour.
At Stevie J Broadcasting, we'll remember, honor, and mourn our military personnel that died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. Because we have to approach Memorial Day in a different way due to COVID-19, we'll have a short program at 11 a.m. on all our stations. Listeners can stay in their vehicles as they visit a military memorial or Graysite. We want to thank CU Elks Lodge 2497 in Savoy behind Old Orchard for their support of our Memorial Day program May 25th. Elks Care, Elks Share. Visit elks.org.
Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. And it is time to take a look at this Illinois football schedule. Again, we preface this by saying we're being a little aggressive in terms of the Illinois football season is still quite a few months away. And, of course, with this pandemic going on, we have no idea if sports will return in terms of college sports or even, I guess, Major League Baseball and everything else, although it seems like we're making ground.
What are we going to talk about?
Oh, boy. So that was the other, honestly, the other thing to this was, hey, this would give us a week of content that we could give information to our listeners while also filling time. So that's what we're doing. And right now, before we get to the non-conference schedule and Rutgers, I want to kind of just go through the strengths and weaknesses of this Illinois football team. Derek, let's start on what I think will be the strong side of the ball, and that's the offense. And you return, of course, your quarterback. You return two or three wide receivers that could help you. But it really, for me, it starts up front with the offensive line, and you get four guys back on that offensive line. The only guy you're missing, of course, is Richie Pettibon. So you get those guys back on that O-line. And, Derek, I mean, you know, it doesn't take an expert to tell you that if you're going to win in football, you got to control the line of scrimmage. Well, certainly on the offensive side, Illinois is going to probably be able to do that again this year.
Yeah, it's a very talented and experienced group. Doug Kramer at center, Paul Chesky on the outside at right tackle. He has ability, as Jeremy says, and we'll talk more about that here coming up in the 5 hour, chance to be a pro. Rodarian Lowe had a good year last year. Kendra Green has really emerged now as someone in the middle that's very good in the running game. So it's really one spot that you're replacing this upcoming year and get Jarisotti from Wofford, and you think that he can fill in and take that spot. If it's not him, it's Virgis Brown. So up front for sure as far as keeping the quarterback clean and creating running lanes. Last year, they took a bit of a step back overall, running the ball just in total sheer volume of rushing yards. Of course, you have Peters versus man, who was the quarterback? Bush. Oh, A.J. Yeah, Bush, who could really make things happen on the ground. So you'd like to see them, especially now where Dre Brown's not getting any of those hard yards. Reggie Corbin, you might have more onus there on the offensive line to open some more things up, but there's no doubt about it. It starts up front, and that's kind of where you win football games in this Amen. League. So that's encouraging for Illinois.
What did Brandon Peters show you last year? I know the lasting memory is that bowl game where he, you know, was running down the sideline and jumped, did this Superman leap, you know, trying to get to a first down for Illinois. And it felt like there was that thought among the Illini teammates, like, hey, he's got our back, man. He just tried to get the extra yardage that he could. But, you know, Brandon Peters really came in and solidified a position, Derek, that you had really been kind of struggling to, you know, really kind of figure out. Like, every year for a while, you're like, okay, who's going to be the quarterback now? I mean, this next year with Brandon Peters, next season, is going to be the first in a while where it's like automatic that, oh, Brandon Peters is your quarterback, even though that was probably the case last year. But still, he has come to me, he's come in and really solidified that position. And if you don't win, I'm sorry, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not going to win in college football, especially in the Big Ten. And for Lovie Smith finally to get his quarterback, I think that's been huge. And I think that's what Brandon Peters now comes back, even a second year under Rod Smith, could be a big year for him.
Yeah, you mentioned the diving play against California, and that just showed that he's underrated as far as being able to make plays with his feet. But overall, what he's given you is giving you a quality Big Ten starter, which you just haven't had at that position in the last 4 or 5 years, really since Wes Luntz,
yeah,
I guess, junior or sophomore, because he wasn't very good as a senior, and back to Shieldhouse as well. So as far as – I'm still interested in Brandon taking the next step.
Yeah, okay.
I still want to see it because – he was huge in the comeback against Michigan State. He threw for 370 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did make some plays against Cal. At Iowa, I thought he was decent. He did have 2 interceptions. But earlier on in the year, his numbers weren't great. He didn't have to do much against Rutgers. In the pouring rain against Purdue,
right.
I don't expect him to do a whole lot.
No.
But he struggled against Nebraska, struggled against Minnesota, didn't make plays until late, which were big plays against Wisconsin. So I still want to see him prove that he can be a upper, you know, top half of the league Ten quarterback and someone that can put you in that echelon to win 8 games. Yep.
He missed a couple games last year too, I believe. So this is somebody that, you know, like you said, and I totally agree with you in the sense that there's more. I mean, there's more that we want to find out from Brandon Peters at that position, but certainly he's a guy that when he first transferred here, we had hopes that he would be kind of what he did last year. And you kind of figured with the looks of this team last year that if you could get just average play out of the quarterback, you could make a bowl game. Well, it happened. So he kind of did that. But now I feel like if Illinois wants to have a special season, Brandon Peters is going to have a more of a special year. And I think that's kind of what you're alluding to, and I would agree 100%.
Yeah, just elevated play on a more consistent basis. I think that's something that you're looking for. Against good defenses that are going to stop the run, can you game in and game out against quality Big Ten opponents? Once you get past that first four, and we're going to dive more into the schedule. Once you get past the first four in the schedule, there's some decent opponents in there, and especially if your defense struggles to stop people, particularly up front,
right?
You might have to put up some big numbers. And can your quarterback do that? Can you rely on Brandon to do that? I think that's still something that he's got to prove.
We can touch on the running game, but first on the wide receiver. You got Bebe back. You got Ricky Smalling, who I'm still kind of waiting for Ricky Smalling to kind of have that special year as well. I feel like Bebe had a really solid season last year, but I think he could elevate even more a little bit at that position. You saw a guy like Casey Washington. You know, he showed some metal there late. But the guy I'm looking for there really is Ricky Smalling. Ricky came in. He was the first recruit ever to Lovie Smith. So he took a chance on this program, and that's something, you know, I'll always appreciate out of recruits and out of players. But I don't feel like he's ever quite reached his potential, max potential of a kid coming in here. Now, maybe he's not a guy that can do that, that can reach that level. But I feel like with Bebe getting a lot of attention this year, who am I missing?
Trayvon Sidney,
a guy that's coming off a major injury. But you've got now weapons on that wide receiver spot, but still, to me, it's Ricky Smalling that's going to be the key, I think, if this team makes the next step.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're still waiting to see because you're really excited what you saw from him as a freshman. His sophomore year was underwhelming with drops. He ended up with five that's touchdowns, right. And again, he had A.J. Bush, who would rather run than mm-hmm. pass, but still, it was mostly a disappointing outing for him. And last year, Bebe stole the fact that he was then again the top target, and Smalling battled injuries, only played in seven games, but he had 225 yards and a touchdown on the season,
yeah.
which isn't a whole lot.
No.
So you're waiting for him to try to, again, stay healthy, emerge there. Can Smalling and Sidney stay healthy? Bebe was great last year, nine touchdowns, and I think the what you're really hoping for is getting football players back on campus to, because you didn't have a spring.
Right.
You didn't have, if you're not going to have summer workouts, just Peters and Bebe continuing to build that chemistry.
Great
that
point.
Was, we talked to Rod Smith back in December or January.
Yep, that's right.
What's it going to be like for them to just finally have a full offseason? Because Brandon couldn't practice with the team until August. That was something that I was really looking forward to seeing there. But I think there's more growth, obviously, with Brandon coming in a short period of time.
And Bebe gives you that big-time receiver. I just want that Robin to the Batman, if you will, and I think Ricky yes. Smalling could be that. One guy that I feel like has lived has gone past my expectations is Daniel Barker. I feel like he has come in and really made an impact at Illinois at that tight end spot, and now he gets help with Luke Ford. You talk about Batman and Robin there. You may have two Batmans. I'm excited to see what Luke Ford's going to bring to this team in terms of a powerful guy that can run block and help in that area, plus somebody that could pick on a safety or a linebacker and take them deep down the field. I can recall watching some of his high school highlights where he would simply outrun smaller, quicker guys, it would seem like, in the secondary. So Luke Ford gives you that. He's another option in the red zone, which Daniel Barker turned into a nice option in that red zone and really sure. has since he's been here. I cannot wait to see the impact that these two good tight ends can have for Illinois, Derek, but especially because I know what Barker brings, and I love what he brings, especially to know how good can Luke Ford be. He seems like a kid that's pretty sure of himself, and he knows he's talented. So now I can't wait to see it and see what it does for this offense.
Yeah, we talked a ton about Luke Ford, again, for good reason, as far as the highly hyped prospect that he was. You don't go to Georgia unless you're pretty darn good. And he got on the football field a little bit there. But you mentioned that Daniel Barker had four touchdowns last
wow.
year as a sophomore, which is pretty good production. And Luke Ford can, you know, play in the slot. He can be a mismatch option. And one thing that I look at for with Peters, at times he's struggled with when the blitz comes,
yes.
what to do.
Yep.
I would Luke Ford's your hot read.
There's your hot read every time.
Over the middle, and,
yep.
and you mentioned also the red zone. So that can really turn into a position of strength as well.
I like that. Now, running game real quick. The running game, of course, it all comes down to the health of Epstein. I think if Mike Epstein stays healthy, that is a kid that I think is averaging over 5 yards a carry in his Illinois career. He's somebody that could really be, you know, kind of take the torch and run, if you will, from Corbin and Dre Brown. And you've got some other guys that are helping out. Chase Brown is a kid that is new. We don't quite know what he's going to bring to the table. You got Rayvon Bonner. I know I'm missing somebody here, but you've got some depth at the running back. I feel like you've got depth and you've got guys. Now I just need the guy. And yep. if Epstein's healthy, I think he's the guy in that backfield.
Yeah, only played one game last year. On his career, he's averaging 6.4 yards a
wow.
carry.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a guy that also in the passing game has shown an ability to make play. Look, he's hard to tackle. He's
yes.
shifty. If you can keep him healthy, similar to a Dre Brown, you just finally have it all click and stay healthy, that could solidify that position and give you an answer there. Reggie Love, a freshman,
right.
can he work his way into the rotation? He's talented. He was a four-star. Rayvon Bonner, someone in between the tackles, especially
That's,
when you get
yeah.
in the red zone as well. Kyron Cumbie, didn't see a lot from him
nope.
last year. Maybe someone you can split out in the slot. I'd be interested to see if he takes a step forward. But, yeah, and Chase Brown.
Yeah.
It seems like the staff's pretty high on Chase Brown. You know, Jeremy has said that he might be your best option. Well, he's up there with Epstein, obviously.
Sure.
But that'll be interesting. That's something that you definitely have to find an answer for, because big shoes to fill with Dre Brown and Corbin gone.
A strength is punting and kicking. I'm not even going to dive into it. And I feel bad for those guys because they're like, you never talk about
it. You don't have to talk
right.
about it.
Right. They're so good, we don't even have to talk about it. So let's move to the defense. And the strength, I think, defensively, you've got a couple of things. You've got Jake Hansen back, who had an unbelievable year of forcing turnovers, and you've got a secondary back that we last week talked to Tony Adams, who will be a big part of that, Derek, but that secondary, when Illinois football has been successful, and you can go back through the years, when they've had success, Derek, I don't know why I always go to this, but I do. It's kind of like my thing. You always have two good safeties. That when you go back to the times when Illinois football's put together bowl-winning seasons, they've always had great people on the back end. You've got that this year, and you've got depth at that secondary, that cornerback, that safety position. Plus, hopefully, we get to see Marquez Beeson and what kind of impact he'll have this year.
Yeah, it's exciting to have a senior Nate Hobbs, a senior Tony Adams, and then a redshirt freshman, highly touted prospect, and Beeson playing in the slot. And you mentioned a lot of depth back there, a lot of options. Can Derek Smith, is he going to play hybrid linebacker or safety? You just get the safety out of Louisville, who's talented, was a four-star out of high school. Sidney Brown is back. And you lose Stanley Green, which Stanley Green played pretty rough for you last year.
He could come up and put a hit on you.
Yeah, for sure. But also Kirby Joseph in the rotation. So you have a good amount of guys. And really, Devin Weatherspoon as a freshman was decent.
He was a late addition and was best freshman probably in the defense.
Showing up.
Yep.
And he was all right. So, yeah, I agree as far as the strength, because I do think as you move up front, you get to your main weakness of this team is the defensive line. But before we get to that, the linebackers, Hanson can force turnovers. I don't know if he's big enough to play in the middle personally.
Okay.
Especially if Jamal Milan's not keeping offensive linemen off of him to fly
I
around.
Agree.
And Milo Eifler.
Yes.
He's a very good athlete.
How did I forget about Milo?
Hard hitter.
Wow.
He's returning as the most tackles for loss, 10 tackles for loss last year. So that looking for him to take another step forward.
So linebacker pretty good. We think secondary really good. And, of course, that defensive line. I'm going to hold that for Jeremy when he joins us next hour, because one of my questions to him is, if that defensive line doesn't do well, what does that mean for this team? So we'll talk to Jeremy Warner about that. That's a nice little breakdown. When we come back, let's break down the non-conference slate for Illinois football and also Rutgers. Can Illinois, will Illinois, should Illinois be 4-0 out of the gates? We'll talk about it next. It's The Drive.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surfaces stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
The goal at PDR Automotive in Urbana is a simple one: to provide you with the safe, reliable transportation in your vehicle. They aren't just after the quick fix to get you back on the road, but instead have two main priorities. They want you to feel safe in your automobile, and they want you satisfied with their work. PDR has been in business since 1973 for a reason. They give quality service and will explain every turn of the wrench. So call them the next time your car or truck has an issue at 367-9481, or visit them on Cunningham Avenue in Urbana.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Historic baseball team.
Swinging a long one in the left field.
29 playoff appearances. 23 pennants. 11 world championships.
The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
Great memories.
Smith Clark's one in the right down the line.
Great moments.
It may go.
Great games.
Go crazy, folks.
Now, get ready for the classic Cardinals games replay.
Tonight at 6:15, September 19, 2019. The Cubs and the Cardinals on ESPN 93.5.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper. Trevor Valise here as well, putting in some yeoman work on these guests that we're going to be talking to this year, previewing Illinois football's schedule, getting you ready for the season that admittedly is a long way away and we hope happens. But it's fun to go and break this down. We just gave you kind of the strengths and weaknesses to this Illinois team. We're going to talk to Jeremy Warner more at depth about that at 5:05. And at 5:30, Kevin Suits from CBS affiliate in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's a local kid, going to join us to break down Nebraska. We are going to literally follow the schedule all week on who Illinois plays next. That's who the next guy we will visit with. Excited to do this. Right now, let's look at the non-conference slate, Derek, and let's look at Rutgers, which is the first Big Ten game at Rutgers. I don't have a lot of time. We don't need a lot of time. You've got Illinois State is a good team, but it's an FCS team. Illinois State was 10-5 last year. They got to the playoffs, won a game in the playoffs, lost a tough 9-3 game to North Dakota State, who's always really good. UConn's bad. Bowling Green's bad. Rutgers is bad. What say you?
No excuses.
No.
No excuses not to go 4-0 and then you have 8 games after that.
Yes.
And if you go 2-6, you're back in a bowl. I know this is the time with the setup and what you bring back, as we just mentioned, it's time to strive for 7-8. That's
Amen.
Why we're doing this.
Amen.
But, yeah, Illinois State, I know they're good at the FCS level. You can't lose that game.
No.
UConn is awful. They're brutal. They are just a dumpster fire. Bowling Green, 3-9 in the MAC. I don't say anything else. And Rutgers, Greg Schiano and what they call in football year zero.
Right.
He hasn't had time to bring in much. I saw that on 24/7 they brought in 9 transfers, but only 2 of them are immediately eligible.
Okay.
One's a quarterback that played a little bit in relief of Adrian Martinez at Nebraska last year. He can't be worse than
Art Sikowski or whatever.
Stikowski.
Who owns a pizza parlor or something, I said.
Throws 21 interceptions a year.
Oh, my goodness.
But 4-0.
You're right.
No reason.
I mean,
no reason.
Not only Illinois State FCS, not only is UConn bad, not only Bowling Green, who was 3-9 last year in the MAC, in the weaker division of the MAC, but those three games are all at home. Take care of business. And then your first road game, Rutgers. To me, it's a nice way to kind of kick the season off. It always seemed like we're starting with Nebraska. I like the way it played out this year where you get the break of, okay, it's your first road game, and I know it shouldn't make a difference, especially for a veteran team, but it's nice to kind of get that out of the way. And you go to Rutgers, where last year, that team, like you said, worse than the Big Ten, 2-10 overall. Look, Greg Schiano, when he was at his first run at Rutgers, this isn't a Dave Lato thing at DePaul. I mean, Greg Schiano, he had a lot of success there. In fact, they were 68-67 under his tenure, a couple of times finished second in the Big East under Schiano. I don't have any doubt that he's going to get that program back to a competitive program, Derek. But for right now, like you said, and you said it perfect, it's year zero for him. Let's don't worry about Rutgers. You go, you take care of business. Kind of like the UConn game last year where you struggled a little bit to get that victory. I don't think Illinois struggles at all at Rutgers, and I think you're staring at 4-0, and then the real season begins.
Absolutely agree. Yeah, at one time during Schiano's tenure at Rutgers, the first time, they were a top 10 team.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
Going to take a lot even close to be a top 10 team in the Big Ten again. That's
a lot.
That's going to take a big step forward. Does it get any softer, honestly?
No,
I don't know
doesn't.
If it does for a Power 5 team.
Nope.
And look, just take care of business, take your 4 wins.
Yep, I agree. Well done, my friend. All right, so the non-conference slate and Rutgers over. Illinois 4-0, what we have them. When we come back, we'll break down a little bit more thorough on what Illinois football will look like this season. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer, of course, the Jeremy Warner Show. He'll join us to talk about things like the health of Mike Epstein, Luke Ford, that defensive line. If they're not good, what does it mean? I want to ask Jeremy that. And then at 5:30, we break down Nebraska with Kevin Suits. We're going to do it all week. We're back. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.